Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 386. This is episode number 386, not the popular microprocessor produced by Intel starting in the year 1985. This is the 386th episode of our podcast. And I would like to point out that Nerds is going to be involved with YouTube to create what's called Geek Week, which will be August 4th through the 10th. So a bunch of channels have pulled together to create programming sort of themed around, you know, celebration of the stuff that we talk about all the time. So it's, you know, Freddie Wong will be involved with it. UFM and UFN My Family will be involved in it. Stanley's World of Heroes, Geek and Sundry, Machinima. So it's a bunch of YouTubers. And again, August 4th through the 10th, go to youtube.com/Nerdist or any of the other channels that I mentioned. All in all, they're going to be, YouTube's going to be highlighting more than 100 channels. We're going to debut new videos, series collaborations, and just make some fun stuff. Just cause why not? This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Okay, a second ago I mentioned a microprocessor that was created in 1985. They didn't have good backup solutions back then. I mean, the data didn't really take up that much storage space, so you could put everything on a floppy, but now it is so much more intense that if you lose your stuff, you're screwed. You don't anymore. You don't have a stack of floppies where you can just stick everything back on. Let the cloud be your floppy. Clouds are sort of floppy-ish. That's where Carbonite comes in. Your stuff is automatically backed up. You can access from anywhere you have access to a computer. And then if your computer eats itself, then you can totally get everything back. At a moment's notice. Plans start at $59 a year. It's your better backup plan for home and small businesses. Carbonite. Start a free trial today at carbonite.com with the offer code Nerdist and get 2 bonus months with a purchase. That's carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist. And now, this episode, we just left Comic-Con. We're all kind of wiped out, beaten up in the best way possible. Comic-Con was incredible. We're now in Montreal. We're doing a podcast tonight. We did some other stand-up shows here. So I called the sister wives up to the hotel room, and we just banged one out. So here you go, Nerds Podcast, episode number 386, Hostful Goodness in Quebec. Merci.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Speak up.
Wait, we have to yell.
How you do I?
Yell the podcast.
See you, Matt.
Every Saturday night, I would go.
Oh, really?
Every Saturday night.
What did you dress up as?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you don't really dress up as characters. Like, the newbies would dress up as characters. Let's go down to the Rocky Horror.
Yeah, yeah.
But we would just dress up in lingerie.
Oh, nice, nice.
I was 16 years old.
One of my favorite Simpsons jokes is the critic Simpsons crossover. And like there's like a film festival,
yeah.
And then Dr. Hibbert walks up as he's like, oh, I thought this was the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I love that.
Ha, ha.
We are recording.
I'm gonna go away now. I'm gonna go play
Animal. You're gonna go play Animal Crossing?
Probably. I have nothing left to do in it.
It's a very big day for Chloe because the crocodile who was
that dick is finally moving out of my town, so I can build a bridge.
They won't let you build a bridge if there's a resident too close to the riverbank, and so she was a dick to this one resident for the longest time who did nothing but assault her with niceness, and then finally he decided to move.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad it worked out.
Yeah.
Here's a weird thing.
What? So
it'd be really funny if you just showed us a dick on your back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like, I don't know where it was.
Oh, there it is. A giant dick on your back.
Yeah.
Why is it erect?
Yeah. Because we're looking at it.
Yeah. The dark dick word.
What are we...
Someone would have to know the dark backward to get that.
Yeah, but I know you did, and the joke was for you.
No, but I have to open up and include everyone.
No, I know, but like...
So the dark backward was a movie from the early 90s starring Judd Nelson.
We've talked about it before. Bill Paxton, Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I make Liz in that joke.
Maybe you didn't laugh, though.
Bill Paxton...
Was it because of something I said?
Brian yes. Walton, who's our editor... had some like hung out with Bill Paxton at Comic-Con.
Oh yeah.
And then when I was doing the Edge of Tomorrow panel, Bill Paxton happened to be in the crowd, and so we called him up, and Tom Cruise is probably the only person that could get away with going, he was like, "Dude, Chet, I make him do this every time. Dude, Chet." And then he was like, "Nah," and he was like, "No, come on, do it." And then so finally Bill Paxton goes, he looks at the crowd at Hall H, and he goes, "How about a nice, greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray?" And I was so delighted Jeez. By the experience. I was like, you're the only person that can order Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Literally the only person who could order Bill Paxton to
That's
do Chet.
Rad.
Well, James so, Cameron probably could.
James Cameron probably could, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do Chet. I make him do this all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, exactly. What's the... Oh God, he had that great line in was it Near Dark? There's just like one line, or just it's like, you know, because he just has great lines in every movie, like Game Over, Game Fucking Over, shit like that. But anyway, so there's a thing called SimSimi, and it's just this weird automated app thing, and someone put in, you just ask this robot questions, and it's like I guess crowdsourced somehow, and the person put in Nerdist, and then the robot responds with "Yes, I do. Chris Hardwick is super funny. Remember to enjoy your burrito." And then the person puts in "Jonah Ray." And then the robot says, "Lies about committing suicide and cheats on girls. He is a jerk and don't talk to him."
What? Oh, I did. That was me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right. Well, first of all, I'm sorry that the robot said horrible things about you.
It was just weird. Because then I was like, what's the fucking SimSimi? And so I downloaded it.
And you put in Matt Meyer and it goes, "Who?"
No, you're trying to... Are you trying to rear load it with correct information about yourself? Or
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Oh, you've just typed Jonah Ray is awesome and doesn't cheat on anyone 100
yeah,
times.
100 times.
Just try to so, tip in your favor.
Matt Myra? She sounds sweet.
Right. That thing is a
liar. Well, Chloe noticed this. There's a fucking... Essentially a Yelp for dating that people go on and basically rate someone that they've gone out with by name, like mention them by name and talk shit about them. And the fucked up part is that it's like that. Like, well, there's no quality control, really.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I understand that we should be able to say whatever we want, but at the same time, is that okay to basically have like a libel machine
or yeah,
a slander
and
machine?
And there is a thing saying, this is for adults and this is just for play. There's like, we the company do not have any of this information.
Yeah.
This is just a thing that is sourced. Chris Hardwick, a sexy mama. Jonah Ray.
Do you have to prime it with like asking Nerdist first before it gives out that?
You're basically texting.
He kills the runway and book them bitches. So it's real, you know, it's really honest.
You,
type
please,
in there and see what it
please,
says.
Please make that your next album title.
Ah.
He kills the runway and book
them
bitches. You kind of have to do it.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. When I put out my rap album, "You kill the runway and book them
and book
bitches.
Them bitches." You kind of have to do it now.
Yeah. Enjoy your burrito. Send.
What do we get? Nothing.
Nothing, tra-la-la. California burrito, happy face.
Big happy face.
Yeah, well.
Just means avocado, right?
Oh, man.
Anything California,
put some avocado in.
How are you guys feeling? I felt like the jet lag of 100 jets yesterday. We went straight from San Diego Comic-Con to Montreal for Just for Laughs.
When did you leave?
Monday. So Comic-Con ended Sunday. I did...
Rogue Wave.
I did the Rogue Wave. Yeah, so Sunday was Breaking Bad panel, where I announced that I'm going to be hosting Talking Bad.
Hey,
we have a show for Breaking Bad. Finally talk about it.
We lose the joke of jumping around it.
I know. Well, you can still pretend. If you
yeah.
And I was very careful to try to tell people, you know, at the panel, I know that it's a totally different show than Walking Dead. I know that I get very excitable on Walking Dead. I'm not going to be popping up on commercials during Breaking Bad. Yeah, and you're yeah. like, hey, the hashtag is...
Hank really got a deal on this one.
So,
you that know, kid talks weird.
So, I, you know, the show is heavier. And, you know, we want to give it to... It's a fucking bummer that it's going away. But, you know, we want to try to give people a little behind-the-scenes retrospective of the show overall.
Yeah.
And try to send it off as respectfully as possible. So,
you know, it's going to be the worst 2 months of my life.
Why?
Just the amount of stress I'm going to incur from just, like, waiting week to week to
just
watch
like
these episodes.
What crazy, horrible things are going to end up
yeah.
happening?
It's not going to be good. Like, nothing... There's not going to be a fucking, like, thing where you're like, and then everything worked out.
Do you think the last 8 episodes would be like Matt Myers' trip to Orlando, where they just go to Orlando and one episode they just go to Epcot, and another episode yeah. they just go... It's like they're just rebuilding their family.
Yeah,
there's
a couple episodes of Epcot in that series.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Well, so that, and then did the community panel, which was super fun.
Cool.
Joel was shooting a movie, so he couldn't be at the community panel. He tried, and they wouldn't let him out. So he pre-recorded this thing to intro me, where he said, your moderator is an above-average bowler who couldn't make web soup work. Here's Chris Harvitz. I laughed so hard, I emailed him, and I was like, that was the fucking funniest thing ever. And he goes... You know, Sony was a little... They were worried that you might be offended by that. Like, I don't give a shit. This is hilarious. And then, yeah, I went and podcast Rogue Wave, who was... they Zach and Pat were fucking fantastic.
That's
so
cool.
So that'll... and we got to record their sound check. And
yeah. I drove... Sunday morning at Comic-Con, drove up back home, washed the clothes I had worn during Comic-Con, repacked them, ate food, and then went to the airport for a red eye Sunday night to land Monday morning in Montreal, where the customs lady told me I needed to go to immigration, where I sat for about an hour. And then when I got up to the thing, the guy's like, you don't need to be here. I get in, I try to take a nap, I can't, and then I have two shows. I had two shows Monday night that I just bombed.
Really?
Yeah, just bombed them.
And we had a great set on our, I hosted the basically a sampler platter of comics from the festival for Canadian television. You had a great set on that.
Yeah. I mean, they're good jokes. They've worked before. Like, you know.
But if you're going to bomb, at least it's not on television.
Yeah. It was just like the ladies from the festival just like, are these new jokes? Why is it so sloppy?
Oh, no.
And I was just like, you got them. God, just don't worry about it. It's going to be fine.
Montreal can be a little tricky sometimes for, you know, if it could just be a little tricky, particularly for Americans, but something that Chloe and I have noticed is that we were having trouble places where if we'd ask for an English menu or they would speak in French and then Chloe would go, I don't speak French, they would get, like, they would be put off.
More so than if you were in France.
But here's the thing, it's our, the festival, like the guy who drove us to the show last night, we were talking to him about it. And he was like, no, and this would never have occurred to us. He said, you have to specify that you're a tourist, because if you don't, they take it as that you're a resident of Montreal and French is not your first language, and they look down on it. This is what we were told.
Yeah.
So just specify, don't say like, hey, I don't speak French, you know, it has to be like, I'm not from here, and then they're like, okay, then they're not.
I just pull out my billfold with American money on top. And then they seem cool with whatever I say.
A lot of hundies.
Matt, anytime,
$5.
Anytime
$5.
He wants, he always wants to pull out his money.
What did you
well,
say?
I only interact with people.
Well, I can't remember who I was talking to, but basically they said
money.
That people from Montreal hate everybody except for people from Montreal.
One of the volunteers at the festival who lives in Montreal told me that last year, or the last time I was here. Because I said I flew in from Toronto, and she was like, oh, don't tell anyone that. And I'm like,
yeah,
what are you talking about?
It's very xenophobic here.
Yeah. Well, they're just so, you know, I was talking to these Canadian guys, these comics that were just like, you know, if you want to just speak French-Canadian and, you know, make your way in that scene, there's, like, guys that are celebrities, there are people that are huge that, like, are specifically for the 8 million French-speaking Canadians in Montreal, like, that's, and they make a living off of that.
Well, sure.
And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, like, but, like, it's like, you know, then there's, and then there's, like, they talk about those guys that try to cross over to, like, you know, national Canadian TV and movies, and it doesn't always work.
It doesn't. The sensibility is just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. When did you get in?
I got in last night. I left Comic-Con very late. I actually was there for the closing of the floor.
So it was a sad time.
Until 5 p.m. Yeah. It was such a sad time. Yeah. And drove home. Took about 3 hours to get home.
That's actually not as bad as I would have expected.
What did you take?
Oh, I went way out. I just, like, the Volvo told me to avoid the traffic and just...
Yeah, it took you 15, right?
Nah, maybe. Like, the 8 to something.
Like the 15 to the 210 or something like that?
Yeah, 15 to the 60.
I didn't think I hit the 210.
Guys,
the 60.
The SNL skit.
God damn it. Yeah. Well, we spend most of our time in our cars. That's why we fucking all talk
now,
that way.
Here's the thing. Talk to anyone that lives in the fucking city of New York, and they spend as much time talking about different train routes and fucking how the buses suck. It's the same amount of fucking
That's
people.
True.
Yeah.
But it's public transport.
So it was a good... It was a good Comic-Con. It's kind of a blur. It was four straight days of, because Course of the Force ended, and then Comic-Con started, and it started like in the morning on Thursday, and then just did not stop until Sunday night.
Well, it started for me. I had two shows Wednesday night, and it just...
Where were your shows?
The American Comedy Club, or Club, is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
It's on 6th, Gas Lamp. It was fun with Doug Benson and then...
Oh, nice.
Posehn was on the second show. And those were great. And then, and then it started in the morning with the shooting of the State Farm things and then the podcast. And then I had a panel at night.
We had some fun. Let's see. We podcast George R.R. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
We podcast Metallica.
Yeah,
we podcast Matt Smith at the Balboa Theater, which was... That show was so... I thought it was going to be hard to achieve the level, the Barrowman level from last year, but I really thought the Balboa show was...
It was a blast.
It was up there.
Yeah.
Matt Smith was so sweet and gracious and, you know, would sign stuff and let people come up on stage and take pictures and not in a, oh, all right, kind of a way. Like, he seemed genuinely excited and kind of moved that this is the last year that he would be appearing there as the Doctor.
And when you listen to that, I wasn't as drunk as Chris makes it seem like I was.
Jonah,
everybody I met on the floor.
No, he wasn't that like at first, but then I noticed all those beers were like just full. He was just feeling the fucking crowd.
He was just feeling the vibe
on the floor. People that would stop me on the floor on Sunday were like, "You weren't that drunk," and I was like, "I know."
How'd that make you feel?
That I wasn't that drunk, or
vindicated that they know.
I was like, at least they know that Chris lies. Sometimes.
But you were very, you were an excitable Matt and form, and excitable Matt is usually a result of drunk Matt.
It's true.
That's totally true.
True. You weren't drunk. Well, you were buzzed.
Yeah.
But you were
buzzed. Going.
Yeah.
Here, watch your feet really on the well. Table with the mic.
I'm not gonna kick it.
I know. I just did the sound of the vibration.
Just can you
kick it
to the situation?
But can you kick it?
Yep.
So we can.
No, that wasn't. That was a reference to it. So.
So that's why I thought you were drunk. I thought you were drunk because you were very excitable.
He was killing.
He was killing, and I think he was just drunk. Maybe you were drunk off the energy of the crowd.
I'll try not to do that next time.
So no, no.
I'll try not to bring energy and jokes.
Last night I was like talking to Todd, you know, one of our manager guys, and like I was like Matt was like killing me. It was really funny in the podcast, and like. And then Matt said, yeah, I wonder if people are going to realize I'm the funniest guy in the podcast.
Yeah.
And then I said, I take back all the statements I just said. Something I don't like about Kagan is that it really dry. That's why I never really
I've been hanging around Pete Holmes too much.
There you go. Laser!
And then we also podcast Harrison Ford, which...
What? I wasn't going to mention it.
What?
Because...
Well, no, listen, I just... Harrison was great. I feel like it's the only... I actually don't even really remember the podcast too much. I never get nervous around people. And it was probably the one time out of all the podcasts we've done that I was overtaken with fan fear inside. Because we were in a hotel room pretty much like this. Just he was as close to us as we all are to each other right now.
Yeah.
And there's just something, you know, no matter how prepped you think you're going to be, there are a couple of people in the world, I think maybe Steve Martin would probably be the other one, where it's just there's something about them that on a molecular level they are so ingrained to you as these iconic people that no matter how much I tried to calm down,
I felt like I didn't do a great job of being articulate. Like I just couldn't. And then I became afraid of him, which you should never do when you're have someone.
Yeah.
Because you just can't.
But it's hard not to be. He's a very intimidating guy.
And but overall the experience was really fun. But I haven't listened to it back yet. But all I remember is me just inside feeling like I just felt like the whole time I was trying to just breathe and be calm. I mean, he's fucking. It's you a guy like that. You don't. We just don't think of him as human because of what he's meant to us in the films and our culture and what we grew up with. And, you know, it's Indy and Han and Richard Kimball and just all these. And so when
and regarding Henry, that was his name in it, right?
That's right. And so when, you know, when that person is in front of you and you're like, oh, that's a living, breathing human being. There's just something that, you know, but I thought he was gracious about it. I was a little afraid to talk about Star Wars. It seemed like he didn't really want to talk.
Yeah, and sure, you didn't.
He didn't. We didn't really talk about it much because. And then I could see, you know, we did the panel. Part of the reason we did the panel for Ender's Game, and he was on it. And the majority of the questions were people getting up to the microphone and going, "Oh, this question for Harrison Ford. If Han Solo met Indiana Jones, what would he say?" And then he was like, "Hello." he sort of plays up this like grumpy old man character. Yeah. But anyway,
that was great.
I
was really stoked to see it.
Look for that in September.
Metallica was great. Got to meet James Hetfield and Kirk Hammett, and that was a dream come true.
You totally hit it off. You and Kirk Hammett talked about Hawaii.
We did. He was very excited. He showed me his Hawaii license, driver's license, and everything.
Aww.
Yeah. Because he was living for like 8 years, he said, in a town that was like right next to my town. It was Waimanalo. So it was very exciting to talk to him about Hawaii stuff.
I thought they were particularly great. Like,
yeah, and I heard
really,
from multiple
really good
people,
dudes.
From multiple people afterwards. Like that guy that was there shooting.
Yeah.
Like he was like, James has never had that much fun before in an interview. So it was great. Well, here's the crazy thing. Hmm. James Hetfield goes, so we're just going to be like sitting down at this table, and Matt goes, yeah, and then and James goes, yeah, yeah. But subtly, not for show.
Just the best thing in the world.
Is this the table we're sitting at? Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then me and Matt just went.
Again, that's the thing. Is that you? It's so ingrained in you, and it's carved so many pathways in your personality. That when you hear it in person, it just, it's, you're conditioned. It's a conditioned response, and you can't help but be like, oh, fuck. Like, you don't know if you should, it's, you know, I now understand what it feels like to be a poodle when its owner comes home. And it's just like, I don't know where to go. It's just like that, except do I run? Do I jump on him? Do I fucking flip around in circles?
Nope,
do I drag my ass in the carpet?
You just pee.
Oh, pee.
Yeah.
Like, it's, that's sort of the feeling. It's trying to contain that excitement and still be able to, you know, to have a conversation. So, you know, we did it, you know, we did our best at Comic-Con. We're sort of getting to this place now where we're interacting with people that are, you know, that really like iconic people that meant everything to us when we were growing up.
Yeah.
And so it's, like I said,
it's been a journey.
It's been a real journey, you guys. That's why this is the last episode.
I think about that all the time. Like, what if we just like ended the podcast? Like, just said, all right, and that's all we did. That's all she wrote. And then, like, would it be known as like just a fucking gaffe in our careers and lives, or would it be just like, they just stepped away at the top of their game?
You know, I think
we'll see what happens in October when this guy starts working all the time.
There's going to be plenty of time for podcasts.
When?
Night. No, daytime. Daytime. We'll have plenty
just
of time.
An hour, like during his lunch break? He doesn't need to eat.
Yeah, I don't need to eat. There's going to be plenty of time to do podcasts in the fall, for sure.
Oh, we probably just do it at the offices for
the show. For that midnight show, yeah.
What is that going to be? Is that going to be Hollywood Center?
I don't know yet. I don't know where we're shooting that yet.
I don't know if we're shooting that yet. But, no, I will always make time for the podcast. As long as you guys still want to do it. As long as you guys.
You guys.
Take that hat off.
Yeah. Now that we put it sideways. As long as you guys want to do the podcast.
Hey,
I'm still
going to do the podcast. Now you know what I'm talking about. This fucking guy. All right, I got one slice of pizza. You got one slice. You got a plain slice. Plain pizza.
I don't know. I kind of feel like if we did just try to do that, I feel like after a couple months, you'd regret it. You're like, no. I mean, you have to understand that the podcast is largely responsible for most of the cool things that we've gotten to do in the last couple
years. Totally. First, everything,
Yeah. How would you spell that? How would you spell yeah, yeah?
Oh, well, I texted it to Matt. So it was Y-E-A-H. Shit. I got to read. How did I do it?
Yeah,
was it A H U H
Y?
There's got to be another Y in there somewhere.
Because it's a
Y-E-A-H.
Hold on, I texted it to Matt.
Like Yahweh, it's almost.
Hey, Chloe, Yahweh or the highway?
Hey, right?
Fucking 10-year-old joke from Jonah Ray.
It's gotta be Y-E-A-Y-A-H.
Okay, hold on. It's gotta be around here somewhere.
How are you guys feeling, by the way?
What do you mean?
Well, you started working with Tom, the guy that I was fitness training with for
the guy that ghostwrote your book. Yeah.
For like the ace. He didn't ghostwrite the book.
He ghostwrote the whip.
What are you talking about?
It's all very Tom centric. All of his methods. You guys share a similar thinking pattern. I didn't mean anything by it.
Well, we've been working together for 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, weekly for 8 years. I mean, a lot of the philosophy that I have about, you know, if there's any sort of positive philosophy that I have, a lot of it comes from
those
sessions with Tom and sort of, because they're kind of half therapy sessions too. So there is, like, because Tom, he's a guy that loves being a teacher, and he's a good one. And so
he's a shaman,
and so I think he's great.
He's my own personal Jesus.
What?
Yeah.
Feeling alone.
Y-E-A-H-Y-U-H.
Yeah.
No space.
Okay, good. Yeah,
No, I love it. I love it. I really do. I genuinely enjoy working out with him.
Yeah, stop going to therapy.
You what?
Stop going to therapy.
It is like going to therapy.
Yeah, but I stopped going to normal.
Oh, you stopped going to everything just Tom.
I'm just doing it with Tom. It's great. Look, but I was just talking to Matt about this. There's been a couple times that after I work out, happened today, after I work out, I get severely depressed.
Oh, really?
It's like the opposite of what's supposed to happen. Like today, I was done working out. I was feeling pretty good. I was working out, and like I got ready, and the nurse was like, no, I don't want to do anything.
Did you go back to sleep?
No, I had to go meet this guy and walk over here.
Aww.
But I made a pro-me decision, and it worked out when I could. Couldn't do a lot, did what I could.
You checked the box.
Yeah, no, I had a good workout in my hotel room this morning. I went for a nice little jog around Montreal.
One of the first days when Matt threw up.
It was the first day. I walked to the gym. It's not far from my house. It's about a mile and a half from my house. So I walked in the morning, and on the way I stopped off, because Kiki trains at that same gym, so sometimes I would walk with her to the gym. She was going like at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'd walk with her. And we'd always stop at Starbucks, and you know, she'd get like a giant iced Americano, and I would get one too, and then we'd walk, and then she'd go in and train, and then I would just go walk back home. And my brain just went with that pattern of, like, it's my first day working out at that gym. I'm going to drink a giant iced Americano before I go to this gym because that's what my brain is trained to do. So I drank it, and then I got there, and then that's all I threw up. Towards the end of the workout, I was like, hang on a second. And then I just went in, vomited. And
oh, that must have looked so weird.
It was just coffee that came out of me.
So just, like, it's blackness pouring out of you.
Yeah.
But it's coffee.
Yeah, but it was just coffee.
Oh, no, I know, but, like, mentally.
You should never drink coffee right before you go work.
No. Now I know that. And live and learn, right, guys? Live and love. And I threw it up, and then I immediately just went back out and was like, let's do it. Let's go. Let's work out some more.
Let's get right back on the road. Do you want another coffee?
That happens a lot. when I was playing football in high school, like during those like 2-a-days and stuff like that, everybody would just end up vomiting from working out so hard.
Yeah.
It's really great for the kids.
Yeah.
Work out till you vomit. But
I feel good. I like working out. It feels good. I like it.
Feels good, man.
Yeah, I'm getting smaller, getting more toned. So I told Tom that our goal is to get me down to 210 by next year. So
apparently you're freakishly strong.
I am. Yeah, who said that?
Tom said that. Because he has me do these walkouts.
Yeah.
And he said Matt can do a lot of them, and you're pushing a lot of weight when you're doing that. And
I am freaking. Yeah, Kiki says the same thing, that I'm like Lenny with the mice.
Yeah, well, of course, no, because you like.
I'm a big guy.
You've been dragging around. You've
had
to, like, you know, we all have the same amount of gravity pushing down on us. So when you're a bigger guy, your muscles develop to.
Yeah, but I'm not one of those, like.
Gravity pulls down.
That was that, like, a Chris Hardwick line I did.
But there, you know. There's, like, there's a couple kinds of fat guys out there. And, fortunately.
What are the kinds?
Well, you're a guy that used to play football. So
it's there. So there's some muscle mass there. I'm fortunate in that I'm evenly distributed as far as my fat goes. Like, you know, my body is evenly distributed as far as how where the fat, like, you know, because there's guys that are like pear shaped that like have these,
they basically just look like a skinny guy that just has like a garbage.
Yeah, and they're like fat guys with cankles, and I don't have that. I got nice calves. Thanks, guys, for checking them out.
Nice.
But you know, it's not. Don't look at me weird. It's not unfortunate in that sense, and I am very strong. I can outbench any of you if you want to try.
Yeah, he's also the funniest guy on the podcast. He's the funniest guy on the podcast.
Yeah, he can outbench us. He can out joke bench us.
Yeah. How much you joke bench? Probably like 20 LPMs
left per minute.
And to go back to what Jonas said, I said I'm the funniest guy on the panel. Which is different from being the funniest guy on the podcast.
You didn't say panel.
I did say panel. You were...
Or no, out of the three of us, I think you said. You sounded the funniest one.
No.
Well, either way. I think it's such a man.
It's different.
I went
on the AV club and agreed with them that I was the least funny.
I don't mind. I'm very happy to be the friendly traffic cop that just kind of tries to keep everything moving forward.
No, I went on the... joined the AV club message boards, finally.
Why would you do that?
I just got really annoyed.
No, I don't want to know.
It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
I got really annoyed with them, and I finally just went on there and just...
No, don't. We've given
them
enough
attention.
Their
questions. Their ridiculous questions.
We've given them enough attention.
Yeah, look at I got screen grabs he was giving me.
Well, he asked for them, so I gave them to him.
Yeah.
But, I just went on there. I was like, hey, this is this. This is why this. This is why that. Sorry if you don't like me.
Well, I also
you gotta do the dealer hands.
I liked how you, they were going, it's like, you know, guys like Jesse Thorne and Matt Myra, I was like, that's a great guy to be compared to. I don't know what they're fucking thinking. The guy has, his own little fucking huge business.
Yeah.
He's living up and down
stuff. The internet will never let me forget that I worked on an Apple store. Like, they will never, never, never let me forget that. That I just came from an Apple store. I actually went on there and I was like, yeah, I used to work at an Apple store. And then I listed every job I ever had from the time I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And I was like, those are all the places I used to work, so.
No, but you know, when people attack, they're going to look for anything that they think might be it's essentially... It's like a virus. They're just trying to attack.
Yeah.
It's like an interpersonal virus where they're just looking for any potential weak spot.
But I think the internet would have respected me more had I been unemployed when I started doing the podcast. Or
you know, no, then they would have attacked you, or maybe they would have attacked you for that.
No, they do the same thing to me. They say like, the only reason you got a half hour is because you're riding on Chris's coattails. It's like, oh, or was it 10 years of doing stand-up?
Yeah. Also, I don't wear coats with tails on them anymore. I mean, that's very
1930s. You're right.
Well,
you're riding on Chris's fucking Dr.
Razor
scarf.
Scooter. Dr. Tom Baker scarf.
Yeah.
which is totally not true.
Yeah.
Because the business just doesn't... It just doesn't work that way. Like, no one would do me a favor by letting you represent their thing in some way. You earned everything you have on your own.
Yeah.
And also being funny on this podcast, you know.
Yeah, helps a lot.
I think you guys are funnier than I am on this podcast.
You have to direct traffic.
I'm a friendly traffic cop.
I just check out.
Where are you now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in SNL.
Are you on SNL?
I was thinking about Deep Thoughts.
What season?
I got Jack Handy's new book, The Stench of Honolulu.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny. It's like as if the Deep Thoughts guy is like the star of a book. And so
really?
It's so fucking ridiculous and so funny. And it's just that it's like the whole thing is like a one long, huge Deep Thought. It's great.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
If you guys need me to go on the boards for you, let me know.
Are you still talking about that?
I have an account now.
I was actually pleasantly surprised that when they announced Talking Bad, that I thought it was going to be an avalanche of fuck you, you douchebag.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to ruin Breaking Bad, which is, you don't have to watch it. You don't have to watch the after show. But it was a good response. I was actually pleasantly surprised.
I don't mind.
I was pleasantly surprised. Well, I just don't want to, you know, as a fan of stuff, the last thing I want to do is bum out other fans of a thing. You don't want to be the fucking turd in the punch bowl.
Yeah.
But, and so I was actually pretty pleasantly surprised. I have not been as irritated by the internet lately. I don't know. I feel pretty good about it, actually.
Are you? Dare I say, growing up?
Booger. Samira Booger on your own. But I just, you know, there's just no, I mean, at a certain point you're like, well, if you dwell on all this shit, it's just going to take up energy that you have when you have, I just don't have time. You know, we're gearing up for the Comedy Central show. We're going to be doing more live shows in LA in August and September at Meltdown, and
a lot of fun
to practice for that. It's a fun show.
I had a blast! I had so much fun.
You were great on it.
Won.
You won.
Fucking won.
It's such a fun show that I really, you know, I hope that it's such a fun show to do. I hope it's as fun to watch as it is to do. So we'll see.
You seem to like it.
Yeah, I mean, as a live show, it's, you know, it's...
There's another kind of dynamic, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, to do the show live is really fun, you know, so hopefully we can translate it to television, but it's been a blast. But Montreal's nice. It's, like, weirdly cold here.
Dude, it's a Monday.
What's
perfect
up with
weather.
The Yannis, guys?
What's up with the Yannis is that we still... last night was the first night that I've actually slept all night.
Yeah?
Since I don't even remember. And we still were on West Coast time, so we fell asleep at, you know, 3 in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
And woke up at 11, which is crazy.
Isn't it nice waking up naturally? When you just kind of wake up and you don't have to go,
oh shit, oh just, it's 9 more minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is sort of a weird feeling. But the unsettling part about it is that I'm in work mode, but I've been in hyper work mode lately. And so it's sort of hard to... I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something. I'm constantly all day today. Chloe and I were walking around old Montreal. I constantly felt like, oh, but I have to do that. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, but I'm supposed to... Oh, no, I'm okay.
Yeah. Conference calls and stuff.
I still had a couple conference calls today. It's really horrible for her when I'm in work mode because I don't have the... I'm sorry. I don't have the ability to focus on more than one thing at once. So yeah. she'll say something, and I'll be like, yeah. And so it's very... I've got to get better about...
Being
available. A human being. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not being just a fucking work robot all the time.
Yeah, when I was on The Soup, and we were doing, like, a lot of stuff for the show and the podcast and stuff like that, like, and, like, I was, you know, doing a lot of stand-up, it was so hard to, like, break from it and be available, like, emotionally to Deanna. You know, because it just sucks, because you're in your head, and you're kind of thinking of stuff, and, you know, you forget to just be like, hey, how was your day?
Yeah, and I think women are much better multitaskers, and I think guys are just too much like, I'm in this mode, I don't know how to break out of this mode now.
Yeah, I get when I ask Kiki how her day was, she goes, you don't care.
Jesus.
And I go, I do, I swear to God, I do.
I'm so glad that you didn't go, see, I thought you were going to be like,
you're right,
I'm going to go play this guitar.
Yeah.
No, I tried.
Or maybe we're just dicks.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Oh,
I am.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know if I don't know. I mean, it's not fair for me to speak for all guys and say that we're all singularly focused and it's very difficult for us. But let's just say that is my experience is me, and that seems to be your guys' experience too.
Well, for me, I think the three parts that comprise a guy is that they're mean, They're dumb and they're gross. Those are the three aspects of any guy.
Check, check, check.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're dumb sometimes, and so they forget not to be something they might say is mean, and then they fart, and then it's just like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so mean and smelly.
Yeah. And because a guy just smells, it just happens.
Yeah.
You know, you can do a lot of stuff to stop it, but if you're just left with your essence for a bit, you'll start to. I'm sure if, we were in here for a bit, the three of us, and then Chloe went out to go, get some. Oh, yeah. Came.
Come back in.
You walk back in, you'd be like, smells like guy in here.
Yep, probably.
So she'd be really turned on,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like the locker room scene of Porky's.
Just the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. I think it's just once you sort of zero in on a task, it's just that sort of hyper focusing, and that we don't move like Segways. We move like fucking 18 wheelers. Where it's like, oh, now I kind of got to back out of this loading dock. Beep beep. Like it takes time to back up. You can't just left and right turns really fast emotionally.
You're just like tearing yourself out of stuff.
Yeah. I got to get better about that.
It's, you know,
I'll get better about it.
Yeah. I believe you. You're doing better.
I believe you.
It does seem like you're doing better. You do seem more of a human being than you have for the past year. I was talking to Matt about that recently. Doesn't seem like Chris is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there was a period where I just wasn't there a lot because my brain was pulled in like 10 different directions, and so most of the time I was just in this sort of weird thought matrix of trying to tighten the screws on a bunch of different things at once. But what's been helpful with that is that we have such an amazing staff at Nerdist who are all really good at their jobs.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like I have to do everything, which is a really weird, it's an interesting, you know, when you start a thing, you can kind of go two ways with it. You can do I think a lot of us, when we start out, get very maverick. It happens in stand-up, too, where a lot of young stand-ups I hear go, I'm never going to do the same joke 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. Like, good luck with that. And then with starting a thing, then you kind of go like, I'm going to do everything. Because I just have to do everything. I want to be the one to do everything. Whether or not it's you don't trust anyone else to do their job, or you kind of want to be the hero, or whatever it is. I don't know. Or you want the challenge. And then what you have to learn along the way is, like, there are things I'm not good at. There are things that other people are much better at. I need to recognize what I'm good at. Let other people do the things that they're good at. Trust them. Work together as a team. Try not to micromanage people. Just trust in the system. You know, trust in the sort of holistic bubble that you know, and so it's been a lot more relaxed. And now that Comic-Con's done, which was huge for us, and Montreal will be done, then when I get back, the focus will just be like, you know, we'll do Talking About in August, we'll do Talking Dead starting in October, and then the Midnight Show in October, and you know, like everything feels very like a structure. For the longest time, you know, trying to build this career of a bunch of part-time gigs.
Yeah.
It's finally starting to feel like, all right, I have some, like, full-time stuff to... And so I'm starting to feel a little more settled than I was before running around a million miles. I feel a lot better.
Is your house going to be done by the time the show starts up?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just...
Well, that's
great. It's just... It's really awesome. It's a cool house, but I don't really feel like it's mine. It's just a place that I go, so I keep boxes, and I go, and it's in various stages of construction, and, you know, there's always wires and wood exposed, and they're, you know, it's cool, I mean, but who knows?
Yeah. I think that's going to help a lot, too, once you have that place.
Yeah, because I don't live anywhere at the moment. For the last 2 months, because I was traveling so much, I gave up my apartment. I've been camping at Chloe's place, but I don't really feel like I live there, though. I mean, like, I'm staying there, but...
space for your stuff.
What a deadbeat boyfriend.
Well, Chloe's been, you know, just getting ready for Comic-Con. She's, you know, there were, like, five costumes.
Five costumes,
her place is basically a costume workshop with a bed in the back. And so, you know, I've been living out of a suitcase for months, and so I just don't really feel like I don't feel like I necessarily live anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think that's
yeah, with all the jobs coming up and everything.
That's starting to wind down, so that'll be good too. And I owe you a huge thanks for turning us on to Zero Charisma, which is a movie that you saw at South by Southwest that is
a fucking beautiful movie that we partner with Tribeca, and we're going to distribute it in October. It's going to be available for on VOD, and we put the trailer up, but we announced at Comic-Con, we put the trailer up, and I saw a couple of people be like, oh, a fucking movie makes fun of D&D nerds, and it's like, no, it's so not about that. It's about a guy, and he has a lot. He has anger issues, and he has unrealized dream issues, and he's not in the hacky, typical way that people make fun of nerds. It's just the setting happens to be. He is essentially a DM of this RPG.
Yeah,
and that's just his world. But it's so much about that guy and his relationships to everyone else, and it's so fucking well done.
Yeah, if anything, it makes fun of like the faux nerd culture,
right?
You know, which is that one guy who's like a total dork. Like he's like, you know, he's a guy like that. Yeah, the good-looking guy.
Yeah, the hipster nerd.
Yeah, but he's doing stuff, and he's actually making things, but he's not. Like, you know, I just love the dynamic between them two when they're playing the games together and stuff like that.
I think it's so well acted.
No.
You should watch it. You should watch it when you get a chance.
I'll watch it on VOD in October.
You could probably, if you knew someone, you could probably get a copy earlier than that.
Sure, it does. But I like to support the company.
Then what will happen is in October you'll be like, how come no one gave me a copy of Zero Charisma? Like, you could have it if you want it.
Sure.
Be nice if you watch it so we could talk about it and get people excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you focused on now?
What?
What's wrong?
I was just looking at these weird, like, leather whip portions of the couch.
The braided, this sort of, it looks like an old Gap belt.
Oh, wow.
Did you have the braided Gap belt?
Yeah.
Everyone had the leather braided Gap belt?
Yeah, I don't think mine was from the Gap. I think it was from like a big and tall version of the Gap at some point. But I had one.
Oh, that was the Gap.
Yours was from the Mind the Gap.
Yeah.
The braided belt really was kind of a genius
invention. Well, it's great. You don't need holes.
No holes.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back, guys.
No, it's 290s.
You sure?
I remember
once Z Calvarici's come back.
Here was my daily wardrobe. My sophomore year of college at UCLA was all Gap. There was a pair of knee length jean shorts, a polo shirt that was some type of paisley pattern, and a braided
paisley
belt. Wow. Yeah. Mm. Like a really wide paisley pattern and a braided belt.
That like cinched the shorts because they were probably too big.
A little too big, because they were a little baggy because everything was a little bit bigger.
Do you know why it's called Paisley?
No.
It's from a town in Scotland called Paisley, Scotland. That's where it was invented.
Oh, nice.
Not from Paisley Park. I think Prince invented it. I'm going to credit him with that for sure.
Most plaid patterns come from different Scottish tribes. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yes, well, when we were in Scotland, I tried to find my... My Scottish ancestry is Clan MacCrory, but we couldn't find it. And we found it, but no one had it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
You guys have any Scott?
Nope.
No.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to go sometime.
It's pretty great to go to the motherland and really feel the one with my roots in Scotland. Just go and,
I like to go to New York and feel at one with the roots.
You don't have any other shows while you're here, do you?
No.
Really? You got to come out just to do the podcast?
Apparently. They were nice enough to do that, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
One show with Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
He came to the taping last night. He was fucking fantastic.
Nice. Do our fans know that the show's happening tonight?
No.
They don't?
No.
Well, who's coming to the show?
Random people, because it's the Midnight Surprise.
Oh, no!
So I'm weary of that.
Yeah, we're kind of worried about it.
Really?
We do well because people know us. Like, yeah. Because we have that...
There's a dichotomy that people understand.
So it's not even going to be our audience?
No.
It might just be that most people going, well, who are these three assholes and why are they fucking...
Why are they talking to Jimmy Carr?
Yeah. Oh, no!
Yeah.
So it's going to be a dude.
I was wondering why the show... Because it felt like... No wonder they never announced it. It was just... Okay, this was... I was so entrenched in Comic-Con that I had no knowledge of this. That's why they never announced the show and there were never tickets available because it was just their surprise. Why did they make us a surprise show?
We don't work well as a surprise.
Oh no! Well, I mean, surprise, Montreal! This isn't the show you wanted.
Yeah,
surprise!
Surprise! I know you know Dave Chappelle's in town, but guess what?
Oh no!
Yeah. So we're trying, like, you know, Matt and I, like, starting last night, have been just like dropping hints, but there's really no way. Because it's like, you know...
Now you can't get tickets anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's not cool for our fans.
Fans, I know.
Our Montreal fans.
And they're like, it's like the fact that they know we're all in Montreal. They're like, why don't I... Yeah. How do I... Are you doing
that? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
We
figured that out. We put that together yesterday.
Sorry if you live in Montreal. We'll come back soon, I promise.
Dude, not even Montreal. Remember last time we did the show, fucking dudes drove in from Winnipeg and Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Because we're never this far north.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll come back and just do a show. Or at least...
We technically could come back, you know, much sooner than the normal 6 months.
Actually, we could, actually. Yeah, we could, because if it was a surprise show and it wasn't announced, then we could absolutely do that.
That's a good point.
We should do a little block of Canadian dates and just hit, you know, just...
I'm on board.
Leapfrog across Canada.
It's my favorite country on the planet.
It's good. Is it really?
I love Canada so much.
What's your favorite thing?
I just like the people, and I like that it's... I've said this before, but I think it's like what America would be like if we had run it correctly. Like, I feel like it's like they took all of the good ideas America had, but implemented them correctly. It's sort of like, you know, the healthcare system and the helping the homeless and so on and so forth. I mean, it's, you know, it's really nice and very clean and just charming. And I always said... And I like Toronto quite a bit because Toronto, I always have said, is Gotham City if Batman was good at his job.
Yeah.
It's like no crime, giant buildings, nice and clean. And
yeah, but I mean, it's just like the cities. I mean, I've been to Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, and those are great. But, you know, I've also been to, you know, San Francisco, Seattle, and like Minneapolis. It's like it's, you know, they're great because they're cities, but...
You know, I don't see that, though. I think it's a different feeling in Canada. Like, I mean, I know those are fantastic cities and stuff, but it just feels a little... Like, I mean, you think about Seattle and San Francisco, particularly, you know, you think about the homeless problem there.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, but there's, like, so many more people
But there's always a thing of, like, if I get appendicitis here, it's not going to cost me much. They'll take it out.
Yeah.
And I'll get in the Canadian healthcare system.
To be honest, I don't know if that snap was warranted.
I didn't snap. They don't... That was just...
Do you think you would ever move to Canada? Do you think you would ever move to Canada someday?
I would, yeah. If I had to go like Vancouver or something to work on a show, I'd do it in a second.
Those are you kind of cross your fingers and your hope, like, oh, it'd be really cool if I got sent somewhere. That'd be very difficult for you, like if you as a guy were like, well, I got to handle all the, you know, I have to handle all this immigration paperwork and
It's done for you.
I was
talking to a couple of Canadian guys that like went to go run on sitcoms in London, and they just got to live in London for a year and just do comedy out there, and like they're like, it's great, they handle everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just as a person, it's just very difficult. You have to get a specific work permit, and you have to get a specific, because I know whenever you do just for laughs, you have to go in and you have to have a very, you know, you have to get the letter. It says, oh, I'm here. Just for that. Oh, you didn't?
No.
What did you say?
I just said to the guy, I was like, listen, I'm supposed to print out some letters. I'm here for just for laughs. I printed them, but I left them out. He's like, don't worry about it.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. They didn't send you to fucking immigration?
No. I'm a people person, gentlemen. Just not people I know.
This guy lights up when there's a stranger in the room.
Can I ever tell you this craziness? Oh, good. We still have a few minutes left. So, when I was up in Northern California when we started Course of the Force, we were in the Virgin America terminal waiting to take off, and you could see the Asiana plane just on the runway.
Oh, weird.
In pieces. But obviously, they had to leave it out there for a handful of days so they could investigate, and, you know, they...
I saw flight, yeah.
It's a very odd thing to be in a terminal waiting to get on a plane, and right outside you just see, like, a completely wrecked plane, just as plain as...
Yeah.
It's just right out there.
Ugh.
And for some reason, it didn't freak me out at all. Like, it almost... There was something about it that was so odd that it almost didn't feel real. Like, like, my brain wouldn't accept that it was just like, oh, hey, look at that. But other people were just up against the window taking pictures, and you could kind of see the... A little bit of horror in their eyes.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
Southwest flight, they just had their landing gear not work.
New York, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you can come in at a good speed and get to the ground,
you'll skid around.
Chances are you'll be okay.
Yeah, did you guys see that footage of the dash cam, Russian dash cam footage of that cargo plane? Or it's just it's like a plane taken off, but the cargo wasn't secure.
Oh, god damn.
So, it, like, as the plane's taken off, it all slides to the back, and the plane, like, just, like, goes, burr, burr, and then just, poof, and then the biggest explosion. Look it up.
No.
Oh, my god. Oh, my god.
It's, it's hypnotic.
No, it's not.
I love Russian dash cam videos. They're the best.
Oh, you mean like
insane.
Like police dash and...
Well, it's not
like,
police dash. It's everybody has them for insurance purposes.
Because there's tons of...
insurance fraud. And,
yeah, there's
and
lots of hit runs.
Yeah, a lot of... They have these, like, GoPro-type cameras that are just plugged into their cigarette lighters that are filming everything. So if there's an accident, you know, they can see whose fault it is, and it's not going to be some crazy insurance fraud thing, which makes for the greatest YouTube videos.
On
the
Excellent
GIFs. Really terrific.
Oh, the GIFs, Chris?
It's a GIFIC.
I know it's pronounced GIF, but...
I say GIF.
I say GIF, too.
It's graphics interchange format. That's a hard G.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you, you're a hard G.
Yeah. Hardest there is.
That got a snicker from Chloe. How could you snicker at that?
I'm a hard G on the Miracle Mile.
Hey, I'm pretty excited. The least funny guy on the podcast got a snicker from the from his girlfriend.
Nah. No one said you were the least funny.
Girlfriend. What's up, girlfriend?
I'm looking at Pinterest.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I haven't been on Pinterest in a long time, but Michelle's Pinterest costume made me remember it, and I'm like, oh.
What's on everyone's favorite pinup board?
Pinup? What?
What's on everyone's favorite pin board? Pinterest.
I don't know. There, if you bake strawberries, you can make them taste like gummy slices. That's pretty much all I've got so far.
It's a lot of fuel.
Life hacks, guys.
What is?
Life hack.
Life hacks.
Hey, guys. When you first wake up in the morning, think of three people that you'd really like to hug.
That actually would probably be nice.
Noodle stories.
Oh, no! I totally forgot. I totally forgot.
I walk by that all the time.
Still season one.
That's still work. Yeah.
The noobs don't even know noodle stories.
But,
stupid inside joke.
It is a fan favorite, noodle stories.
I don't know if that's true anymore.
It was, I said. Past tense makes it true.
We're going to take
old school Nerdist. We're going to noodle stories.
We're going to take several days off and just drive around Canada.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to take a few days off and then turn 30.
That's right.
How are you feeling about that?
Not great.
Why? That's
great. I loved turning 30.
Did you?
Yeah.
I remember you not loving
it. What are you talking about? No, it was fine. The anxiety leading up to it.
Oh, that's what I'm in right now.
Yeah, I know, but like it really is, it's better.
What, being 30?
Yeah. Being in your 30s is better.
I don't know.
Why?
Only if you're a dude, though.
What?
Only if you're a guy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not as fun for us.
Yeah, well,
you'll know in about 12 years.
Hey, come on! What the?
It's a joke about her, not you.
I know. You shouldn't worry about turning 30. It's fine. Yeah. Turning 30 didn't bother me at all. That one didn't bother me.
You were drunk.
I was drunk. Yeah. No, you're right. I was.
Didn't
I was.
Worry about it.
I was drunk, but I also...
You weren't that drunk. I saw the beers. They weren't really... No one was drinking them. You were just really funny. And just really excitable.
Sorry, I brought a lot of jokes to my 30th birthday. No, it was... 31 is when I quit drinking. And I think the 30s were good, because that's where you really start to not feel like a complete idiot. I just felt like my 20s, I had no fucking idea what I was doing. I felt like I just felt lost.
What's that Dana Gould line? Yeah, yeah. Every time I meet somebody I knew before I turned 30, I apologize.
Yeah, I don't think you shouldn't worry. Yeah. It's fine.
We'll see.
Yeah, everything's right. You're working. You're doing more comedy. If you're working out, you're getting healthy. You got
a girl.
You got guitars.
That's right. Guitar. There's so many things that are good. There's so many things that are good.
You pretty much nailed the things you wanted in life.
Yeah. That's right. What if you were 30 and you were still working in a job that you hated, but you're not? You're 30.
Thanks to Chris Hardwick.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, AV Club. I understand.
But here's the thing.
Jesse Thorne is better because he didn't meet somebody in a Dell store.
Here's the thing. Whatever opportunity I helped with, you never would have been able to do anything with that if you weren't talented and funny. Do you understand?
You can give opportunities, you can't take away opportunities.
Everyone gets a break from something or someone, but it's whether or not you're able to hold on to that is really the testament to, you know, where your abilities lie. So that's just dumb. Like, that has no weight. Whatever they're saying is not true. If you were,
it does have weight. That's about 305 pounds.
If you were untalented and didn't deserve, like, you wouldn't continue to work on stuff that has nothing to do with us. You know what I mean? Like, you work outside all the time.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't let that. That doesn't mean anything. I certainly don't think that's the case. I know the difference between...
Well, why do you threaten to fire me all the time?
It's funny. I know the difference.
It's true. It did hurt our feelings, but it is true. It is funny.
I know the difference between... You can tell the difference between someone who's just like... You know, you see, like, Entourage-type guys where, you know, like, they don't really perform a function.
Dude, Turtle did so much. Drama had his own shit going on. Mm-hmm. And E, talk about one of the best managers in the biz.
Yep. Yo. But the fact that, you know, we've very openly credited the success of the Nerdist TV show was largely driven by your efforts to produce it well.
No, don't compliment him. It doesn't turn out well for you.
Okay, never mind. Anyway, just know that no one who matters thinks that. No one who matters thinks that.
Right.
And well beyond this podcast, well beyond the TV show, years from now, when you're still working and running your own stuff, and, you know, like, it'll... That will be the proof. So please don't think that, because, you know, you guys are every bit as important to this podcast as the podcast itself. So, Jonah, wake up.
Jonah. Fuck you, Matt. Chris, you're the best.
Jonah.
Sorry, what?
I imagine that's every time you're woken from a nap. That's what you say.
Oh, I love you, jerks. Well, that seems like a good place to wrap it up.
Let's figure out if we can establish our dynamic in front of those people tonight.
Yeah, that's actually going to be kind of a neat, like, exercise. We'll see what happens when we get out there, but it's going to be kind of neat to be like,
well, we've never done a show. Like, we've never, this will be the closest we've come to, like, middling in Poughkeepsie. Like, no one knows who you are.
Well, we're just not going to be able to fall back on Noodle Stories, guys. Am I right?
Like, exactly.
It's...
Or just going Doctor Who and then the crowd going, wah!
There is going to be... It'll be kind of fun. You know, but honestly, Jimmy's car is so fucking funny that, honestly, I don't really think it's going to be a huge problem.
And yeah, he's great. We can just let him go.
And we're probably not going to front-load the show with too much stuff. We'll probably just get right into it. Mm-hmm. And just get
how
it
much
going.
Time do we have to do?
I don't know. It's probably an hour.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
I'm probably not going to do, like, any kind of...
Because a midnight show, I don't think it's going to be...
Yeah, you're right.
Unless you guys want to do stand-up before. guys are smelly. So I don't know.
Well, we'll talk about this later tonight.
No, let's figure out all the data. Let's figure it right now. Okay, so if you go up and do all these, you do 10. Matt, you do 10. I'll do like 15.
Break.
Anyway, all right, here we go.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think, some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondry and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondry app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondry Plus in the Wondry app or Wondry Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Once Upon a Beat.